I want to tell you about the cold talkers. How many of you have heard about the cold talkers? A lot of you have. Well, I have two of our church members here, the Paddocks, as you know, and they're going to cold talk for us. Let me show you. Okay, Bernita, say something to Leander. Come on up here, Leander.
Yeah, Ade.
Okay.
Yeah, Ade, Benna.
What'd she say?
Good morning.
Oh, okay.
She'eya Bernita Hunchia, then the Enchla.
Says her name's Bernita and she's Navajo, up with Navajo.
She'donna Eya Topahon, that's about World War II, yeah, don't.
Said our people had participated in the World War II.
Well, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, Leander. Hey, listen. This is even more powerful. Getting Leander up front to talk to you. Amen. Leander, thank you. That took a lot of bravery for him to do that. Folks, there was between 500 and 600 Navajo Marines in World War II in the Pacific Theater for the purpose of codes. Because their language is so difficult. By the way, how many of you understood Bernita? Susan, you didn't even raise your hand. You don't. You only know one word, okay? And they used them because the Japanese could not crack the code. They would send instantaneous messages to the front lines in the midst of battle, and they could tell them what to do, and they figure and they only knew according to the Navajo translator that received the message and immediately told the commanders. It's an amazing story. And so today we're going to look at the biblical code talkers. But before we do, I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your patience, love, thoughtfulness, for bearing with us even as we make mistakes. And now we're here to worship you and to acknowledge your greatness and to admit our need so we can be better. And Lord, you have given me a very interesting sermon that will challenge all of us here. And I pray you would organize the thoughts in my mind, that it will make sense and help us to understand, as so we can crack the code and be ready for your soon coming. Lord, use me in spite of me, and please, because of the content of this sermon, Lord, let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation so that everyone will be free and clear to think and to receive what you have. So blessed to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how many of you... Okay. I turned it off. That's what I did. I turned it off. My fault. All right, how many of you know these codes? The upper left-hand corner. What does that symbol stand for? Christian. Okay, you're right. In the middle, Alpha and Omega. And then down in the corner, that's a little more difficult. That's Chi Rho. Chi Rho. Do you understand in the first century onward, the Christians had to use code in order to protect themselves because they lived in the heathen nation of the Roman Empire. Therefore, they weren't allowed to meet together and have meetings, and for that reason, they had to do it in secret. And in order to do it in secret, they had to communicate. And so they used codes. They used symbols especially. In fact, here's how this symbol progressed. The fish progressed with some sticks crossing in the middle of it. And those sticks crossing in the middle are five Greek letters, the first letters of the word Jesus, Christ, God, Son, Savior. And they would etch it in the sidewalk or in the stone walk or whatever, outside a business, outside a home. And it told the believers, here's a Christian, or here's where the meeting is. And so throughout the early history of the Christian church, they had to use symbols, just like the Navajo were used to code talk during World War II. Symbols. And so let's take a look at biblical code talkers. Let me give you an example. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 14:8. I have two simple questions for you, and I presume that you know the answer, but the second question will make you stop and think. All right, do you have Revelation 14, verse 8? Children, open your Bibles. And remember, if you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. By the way, next week, probably on Thursday, 600 free brand new Bibles will be delivered to this church. I don't know where to put 50 boxes. So you need to be ready next week to take one or two home and give it to a friend or neighbor or co-worker so we can get the Word of God out. You got Revelation 14:8? It's the second angel. Of the three angels' message, here's the second angel. Here's what it says. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And so the natural question is, who is Babylon? But the kicker is, how do you know? I mean, I never forget, I read in Great Controversy how it's written in the Great Controversy that people will thrill to find out what Babylon represents in the book of Revelation. They don't know that. Do you know it? And maybe you'll say, oh yeah, Pastor, I know what it represents. Okay, but how do you know that? Let's take a look at biblical code talk. And you will see that God used a method to convey to his people the truth so the enemy would be confused. And so, I'm going to blow your mind here. We're going to look at Daniel 8, 7, verse 8. Go with me to Daniel 7, verse 8. And let's take a look at how God handles communicating with us so that we will understand, but the enemies will not understand. Okay? Daniel, the 7th chapter. All right, now I'm presuming a lot of things here. I'm presuming you know Daniel 7. You know there were four beasts that came out of the sea. And then there was the fourth beast with 10 horns. And then there was a little horn amongst the 10 horns on the fourth beast. We're going to look at the little horn. Notice what it first says. First mentioned during the vision, verse 8. I was considering the horns, that's the 10 horns, on the head of the fourth beast. There was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first original horns were plucked up by the root. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Okay? So let's look at this. Now notice what God told us in verse 8. First of all, there were 10 horns on the fourth beast, and it says, a little horn came up among them, and it plucked up three of the first horns by the roots. And it has eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Okay, well let's go on. Because notice in Daniel 7, he doesn't just the vision isn't the only place the little horn is mentioned. It's mentioned a second time in verse 20. And when it does, it adds additional information. Now don't forget that. As we move along, it expands and enlarges. We get additional information so we can put all the elements together and figure out the message. Who is Babylon? How do you know? Okay, verse 20. Here we go. And the 10 horns that were on its head, that's the fourth beast, and the other horn which came up before the three fell, before which three fell, that's repeated, namely that horn that had eyes, that's repeated, and a mouth which spoke pompous words, that's repeated, and then it says, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Well, now we got six bits of information here, and the purpose of God is giving them to us in this way is so we can put the information together to understand what he's trying to tell us. And notice that last one, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. His fellows would be the 10 horn that were on the fourth beast, and up came a little horn, and the little horn's appearance was different from the other horns. Okay? All right, but we're not done yet. Let's take a look at verse 24 and 25. For God wants to make sure that we know who the little horn is. So for the third time in one chapter, we're going to get additional information to add to our message. Okay? Here we go. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another, by the way, that would be a reference to the 10 horns on the fourth beast. The fourth beast was Rome. So out of the Roman Empire came four kings, but then it says, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. That's repeated. But now added new, and that horn shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws, and then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a half a time. And so there it is, folks. In Daniel, the seventh chapter, we're introduced to a power represented by what's called the little horn. And we are given 11 clues so that we can nail who the little horn is. And so in this last part, we add to it seven. It came after them. The 10 horns came up, and then the little horn came up. It was different from the first ones. It persecuted the saints of the Most High. It changed times and laws, and it reigned for a time and a half a time. Okay, so how do you know who Babylon is? Well, let's go to Revelation 13. Go to Revelation 13. Told you this was a little bit different. See, I'm not interpreting for you. I'm putting all the facts together, and you'll see for yourself who it is. Do you have chapter 13? We're going to read the first three verses. By the way, this is called the sea beast. The sea beast. And here's why. John writes, then I stood on the sand of the sea. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a great beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head blasphemous words. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was like a bear, his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, His throne and His great authority, and I saw one of the heads as if it was mortally wounded, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. All right, let's look at the sea beast. In these three verses, I'm just going to pull a couple of things. First of all, it had seven heads and ten horns. Now, remember what we're doing. We have a code here, okay? We were introduced in Daniel 7 to a power. The power had 11 characteristics we identified. I know, I went through it really fast. Now we're coming to a whole other beast from the book of Revelation, and I want you to see the similarity between the two and see how God used two different symbols to tell additional information about the same power. Come on, somebody say amen. That's really cool. That'll help you understand this better. It had seven heads and ten horns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. Hey, we got that from Daniel 7, right? It was a composite beast from Daniel 7, right? The first four beasts were a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a monster. And now all of a sudden we get to 13, and here's a beast that's a composite of those beasts from Daniel 7. God is sending us a message. And it says the dragon gave this power, his throne, his power, his throne, and his great authority. Well, let's read on. 5 through 7. And he was given a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, blasphemy his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell on heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Wow. Okay. I'm presuming, even though I'm going fast here, folks, that you begin to see the relationship. In Daniel, the vision was a little horn. In Revelation, it's a sea beast. But the characteristics are exactly the same. Now he adds a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. We got that in Daniel. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. 42 months is the same length of time as a time times and a half a time. And it blasphemed God. It blasphemed his name and tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Now remember, so God mentions in Daniel, he gives us a message. We come over to Revelation and now he's repeating it and enlarging it. But he gives us clues so that we see the relationship with Daniel 7. Isn't this interesting? Okay, and remember, all of this effort just so the enemy can't figure it out. By the way, it takes the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to arrive at erroneous conclusions. But we have the Holy Spirit. Not so with us, I hope. And finally, he makes war on the saints and overcome that. You know, Daniel said the same thing. Daniel said he persecuted the saints and prospered. Well, I'm not done yet because God's still giving us a message. Let's go to Revelation 17. We want to know how you know if you know who Babylon is. And if you don't, then you get two surprises. So now we're coming to a whole new symbol in Revelation 17. Let's just look at verses 3 through 6. And now I'm very close to the finish, folks. So be cool. So he carried me, John, away in the spirit, the angel did, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of what? Blasphemy, having how many heads? And how many horns? Where have we heard that before? The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearl, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was written a name, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots, and the Abomination of the Earth. Here's the name Babylon used again. Notice a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast and full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And it's drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Oops, I didn't read verse 6, did I? Anybody notice? Verse 6 tells us about mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Okay, there you go. The little horn, Daniel 7. The sea beast, Revelation 13. The harlot on the beast, Revelation 14. Three different symbols representing the same power. Now, if you weren't a Seventh-day Adventist and raised with this knowledge, and you were sitting here for the first time, and suddenly we talked about the little horn, the sea beast, and the harlot on the beast, we'd be confused. And so God has revealed to His people who study their Bible and pray the answers to questions that the rest of the world will not receive because they are not going to the source, who is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is a code talker. He taught by parables and through prophetic symbols so His people would understand, but not His or our enemies. And now let me show you what Jesus said in Matthew 13. Go there with me. The last text we're going to... Well, no, we have one more text, but that follows this one. Take a look at this. If you never noticed or if you didn't pay attention... Or if you were like me, you wondered. Here's what Jesus said in verse 10 of Matthew 13. Okay? The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" You know what they're saying? We don't even understand. That's what they're saying. And He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you, us, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Thank you, Ricardo. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he who has abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and not what? Understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears.'" Folks, He wants His people to dig for the answers. And if we don't, we won't get them. If we do, we'll figure it out. He wrote in code so that His people were protected and they would understand. And so, who is Babylon and how do you know? Let's look at 1 Peter 5:13. Last text, I'm done. I want to show you something you may not have noticed. 1 Peter 5:13. Peter writes this, "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son." All right, isn't that great? Aren't you all happy? Peter used the word Babylon. Do you understand in the book of Hebrews is the only place in the New Testament where Babylon is used. And by the way, 6 times Babylon is mentioned in the book of Revelation. 6 is the number of Satan or the earth. 6 times. But Peter used it. I happened to look down in my margin. Do you guys got a smart Bible or a cheap one? If you got a smart Bible, look and see if there's a common. Here's what mine says. Babylon, figurative expression for Rome. By the way, I checked this out on the internet and found out that there's a big argument over this. But all the early Christians knew that Peter was speaking in code, and he made reference to Rome where he was with Mark and his wife, Peter's wife. And he didn't dare mention the name Rome because of what he said. So he said Babylon. Peter was the first code talker. And so, folks, that's it. Rome is Babylon. How do we know? Because we put it all together. Daniel 7, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. You cannot arrive at any other conclusions without cheating. What does cheating mean? Where you take all the elements, put them together, and look at them side by side, and see what did God do? He repeated and enlarged. Repeated and enlarged. Repeated and enlarged. And here's a little thought that will help you as you study in these last days so that we'll know the code and know what God is saying. And that is this. The book of Revelation is a repeat and enlargement of the book of Daniel. Father, I want to pause and pray as we close to thank you for this message. I looked at it last night and thought, I can't preach this, Lord. No one will understand. And it isn't because they're not intelligent. I hadn't seen it completely, Lord. But this morning, I really see it. And I thank you that you are making it plain to us, but at the same time protecting us. Now, Lord, help us to study our Bibles, to find these messages you have for us, not so we can condemn others, but so that we will have the assurance we need to share with whoever you're tapping on the shoulder to get ready for your soon coming. So let everyone in this sanctuary today make a decision that the Bible would be the focus of our life, our work, our family, our church, our home, even our recreation, so that we can see clearly how you're preparing us for what is going to come very, very, very soon. And thank you for being so faithful and thoughtful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand with me as you would as we sing our closing hymn. It's Hold Fast Till I Come. Let us sing and praise our God who is so good to reveal stuff to us. Sweet promises given to those who believe.
Watch this train.
God restored to you, they'll be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Oh, Master, my love. Yes, my hope is built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. All promise alone, it stands as the sun. Behold, I come quickly. Oh, fast till I come. Oh, fast till I come. Sweet promise of heaven. Kingdom restored. Father, dismiss us with your presence, and Lord, send the Spirit to speak to our hearts individually about what we just heard and saw, so that we can see through it that you are reaching out to each one, because everyone is important to you as if they were the only one. So bless to this end in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.